Act 2, The Star and Garter. It is after dinner on the terrace at the Star and Garter, Richmond. A cloudless summer night, nothing disturbs the stillness except from time to time the long trajectory of a distant train and the measured clucking of oars coming up from the Thames in the valley below. The dinner is over, and three of the eight chairs are empty. Sir Patrick, with his back to the view, is at the head of the square table with Ridgeon. The two chairs opposite them are empty. On their right come first a vacant chair, and then one very fully occupied by Bonington, who basks blissfully in the moonbeams. On their left, Schutzmacher and Walpole. The entrance to the hotel is on their right, behind Bonington. The five men are silently enjoying their coffee and cigarettes, full of food and not altogether void of wine. Mrs. Dubedat, wrapped up for departure, comes in. All rise except Sir Patrick. Jennifer takes one of the vacant places at the foot of the table, next to Bonington, and they sit down again.
Louis will be here presently. He's showing Dr. Blankensop how to work the telephone. Oh, I'm so sorry we have to go. It seems such a shame, this beautiful night, and we've enjoyed ourselves so much.
I don't believe another half hour would do Mr. Dubedat a bit of harm.
Come now, Carly, come, none of that. You take your man home, Mrs. Dubedat, and get him to bed before 11.
Yes, bed before 11, quite right. Sorry to lose you, my dear lady, but Sir Patrick's orders are the laws of Tyre and Sidon.
Let me take you home in my motor.
No, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Walpole. Your motor will take Mr. and Mrs. Dubedat to the station, and quite far enough, too, for an open carriage at night.
Oh, I am sure the train is best.
Well, Mrs. Dubedat, we have had a most enjoyable evening.
Most enjoyable.
Delightful, charming, unforgettable.
What did you think of Louis? Or am I wrong to ask?
Wrong? Why, we are all charmed with him.
Delighted.
Most happy to have met him. A privilege, a real privilege.
Sir Patrick, are you uneasy about him?
I admire his drawings greatly, ma'am.
Yes, but I meant...
You shall go away quite happy. He is worth saving. He must and shall be saved.
Mrs. Dubedat rises and gasps with delight, relief, and gratitude. They all rise except Sir Patrick and Schutzmacher and come reassuringly to her.
Certainly.
There's no real difficulty if you only know what to do.
Oh, how can I ever thank you? From this night I can begin to be happy at last. You don't know what I feel.
Jennifer sits down in tears. They crowd about her to console her.
My dear lady, come. Come.
Don't mind us. Have a good cry.
No, don't cry. Your husband had better not know that we've been talking about him.
No, of course not. Please don't mind me. What a glorious thing it must be to be a doctor. You don't know what you've done for me. I never knew until now how deadly afraid I was, how I had come to dread the worst. I never dared let myself know. But now... the relief has come. Now, I know.
Louis Dubedat comes from the hotel in his overcoat, his throat wrapped in a shawl. He is a slim young man of 23, physically still a stripling and pretty, though not effeminate. He has turquoise blue eyes and a trick of looking you straight in the face with them, which combined with a frank smile is very engaging. Although he is all nerves and very observant and quick of apprehension, he is not in the least shy. He is younger than Jennifer, but he patronizes her as a matter of course. The doctors do not put him out in the least. Neither Sir Patrick's years nor Bonington's majesty have the smallest apparent effect on him. He is as natural as a cat. He moves among men as most men move among things, though he is intentionally making himself agreeable to them on this occasion. Like all people who can be depended on to take care of themselves, Louis Dubedat is welcome company, and his artist's power of appealing to the imagination gains him credit for all sorts of qualities and powers, whether he possesses them or not. He is pulling on his gloves behind Ridgeon's chair.
Now, Jinny Winnie, the motor has come round.
Why do you let him spoil your beautiful name like that, Mrs. Dubedat?
Oh, on grand occasions I am, Jennifer.
You are a bachelor. You do not understand these things, Ridgeon. Look at me. I also have two names. In moments of domestic worry, I am Simple Ralph. When the sun shines in the home, I am Beetle Deedle Dumpkins. Such is married life. Mr. Dubedat, may I ask you to do me a favor before you go? Will you sign your name to this menu card under the sketch you've made of me?
Yes, and mine too, if you be so good.
Certainly.
Louis sits down and signs the cards.
Won't you sign Dr. Schutzmacher's for him, Louis?
I don't think Dr. Schutzmacher is pleased with his portrait. I'll tear it up.
He reaches across the table for Schutzmacher's menu card and is about to tear it. Schutzmacher makes no sign.
No. If Looney doesn't want it, I do.
I'll sign it for you with pleasure.
Louis signs and hands the card to Ridgeon.
I've just been making a little sketch of the river tonight. It will work into something good.
Louis shows them his sketch.
I think I'll call it the Silver Danube.
Oh, charming. Charming!
Very sweet. You're a nailer at pastel. Now then, Mr. Dubedat, you've had enough of the night air. Take him home, ma'am.
Yes, come, Louis.
Never fear. Never mind. I'll make that cough all right.
We will stimulate the phagocytes. Good night, Mrs. Dubedat. Good night. Good night.
If the phagocytes fail, come to me. I'll put you right.
Good night, Sir Patrick. Happy to have met you.
Good night, Sir Patrick.
Cover yourself well up. Don't think your lungs are made of iron because they're better than his. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Nothing hurts me. Good night.
Louis goes out through the hotel without noticing Schutzmacher. Mrs. Dubedat hesitates, then bows to him. Schutzmacher rises and bows formally, German fashion. Jennifer goes out, attended by Ridgeon. The rest resume their seats, ruminating or smoking quietly.